The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
For me, footwork has been something that's got me out of trouble on more than one occasion on and off the pitch, so I'll go with that one.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
So Special Congress is fast approaching this Saturday, which means Mick Foley of the Sunday Times is coming into his own. He lives for Congress. He goes absolutely bananas at Special Congress. Mick, it's a special time for you.
It is. It really is. There's nothing more special than a special Congress, is there? It's kind of half the numbers, but double the fun.
Oh, it really is. Christmas, November and December for Mick Foley this year. So it's exciting times. This is not, just to allay fears, this is not a conversation where me and you get into the weeds of what do you like about Proposal B? What would you change about B? Could we have an extra round robin, a round of fixtures here or there? This is more to just stand back for a second and observe what's been a pretty striking process in some ways as to how this has all played out in the build-up to Saturday.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad I wasn't sold a pup to start with. That it wasn't brought in. And well, what do you think a proposal would be? What do you have in the back of your fag packet? It's been interesting watching it, you know, for all sorts of reasons. I mean, it's, you know, it's been funny, particularly your own coverage, I suppose, being more so probably than anywhere else, really. I mean, you've talked to a hell of a lot of people either in the morning time or the evening time. And you can kind of sense people, I don't know, are people getting, have they just been talking about it for too long? I don't know. Do people just want to get to Saturday now and get the thing either passed or deferred or whatever? I don't know. It just seems to me that, you know, we're kind of at a slight tipping point in terms of the conversation, that it's going from sort of, yeah, we need change, to sort of, it's getting a little bit testy. It's getting a little bit, the tempers are starting to fray a little bit. Do you find that?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, what I find so striking about the whole process is that the GAA haven't really taken any kind of a position. Like when this thing first was rolled out and it was Special Congress, which various people have pointed out, it's often at Special Congress where a GAA would be more confident of a motion passing as opposed to Congress. So that was maybe an indication that they were serious about getting something done here. And also, you know, new president in Larry McCarthy, he'll be keen to make his mark in history. So I thought, well, this is rumbling towards an association who want to get something done. And yet that's been followed by this absolute silence. Like almost this, this is an absolutely massive decision. We're not going to give any guidance. You chat away there amongst yourselves, wherever that's meant to happen, that chat, I don't know. And increasingly, I've started to interpret that deafening silence as, well, we're not going to advocate for it, so you can read into that what you want, which is increasingly that they don't particularly want Proposal B to go through. Though I don't know, like, is Larry McCarthy politicking away in the background? So I have found it very, very difficult to understand what the GAA hierarchy have wanted from this period of debate and what they want to happen on Saturday. So that's what I'm really curious about, your read on all of that.
Well, I think it's been not unusual that they haven't said anything, but equally it wouldn't be unusual if they did take a position either. I mean, we had a situation with the Super 8s a bunch of years ago where Pádraig Duffy was very much the architect and the driver behind that format getting through, and he was director general at the time. So it wouldn't be unusual for them to take a position like this. Larry McCarthy, you have to remember, like, that John Horne was president when this task force was put together. So in many ways, it's John Horne's thing. Okay, Larry was actually on this committee. I think he was on it as the president in waiting. I think, I could be wrong there, but he was certainly on it. And I had an interesting conversation with Paul Flynn a few weeks ago, formerly the GPA, who was also on this committee. And he made the point that, you know, the way they set up that task force. So in Horne's time, we got the split season, okay, which was huge. And we will see that it will be huge in terms of the impact it's going to have down the next while. The question that Paul was putting was, is championship change, is that what Larry wants? Is that Larry going to be Larry's legacy? Because, I mean, he's an argument. The only thing he said in relation to football championship change was in his inauguration speech earlier on in the year. Or early on last year, I should say. And it was, he said, be bold. Let's be bold. You know, let's do it. And Paul's sense from those meetings was that he was open to fairly radical change. Now, he obviously hasn't said a word since. You're right. It's always interesting to listen to the silences sometimes rather than all the talk. And my own read of it, and it's not from anywhere particular, but, like, you know, you have to think of it from the GAA's point of view. Like, we're coming out of a kind of post-COVID situation where they're broke, right? There is no financial safety net here. If this, let's say for argument's sake, if proposal B got passed, right? Which, by the way, I think is, it's as good as is there, and why not give it a go and see what happens, right? But anyway, be that as it may, let's say that went in, and let's say that people just didn't turn up. Let's say that the provincial championships in the springtime were just a complete flat damn squib. Let's say that people were still a bit nervous booking into crowds. Let's say people weren't kind of attuned, almost conditioned to watching football on TV. Also, the fact that there'd be so many more games, it might be easier for people to consume the championship via television. Let's just say that the numbers weren't quite what stack up. GAA don't have a safety net here, right? So I can kind of see why they might just be sitting going, well, we're going to be cautious about this. Let's just get our legs underneath us for one season and see where we go after that. Like, my own read of it would be that it's still likely that neither proposal A nor proposal B will get through. And I would not be surprised if the GAA came back in 2022 with some kind of alternative that could well get through in 2023. I do think that there is an element of nervousness there around what post-COVID world is still going to look like, that maybe is just holding the hierarchy in particular back from really pushing proposal B, for example.
Okay, because one of the questions I was going to ask you was, if nothing passes in effect on Saturday, will that be the last we hear of a big push for a big change for several years? But you don't think so necessarily.
No, I don't think so. I mean, it reminds me a bit, this whole thing. It reminds me a little bit of the back door back in 2000. And back that time, you had a group called the Football Development Committee got put together in late 1999. Eugene McGee, God rest him, was chairman. And they came up with what was considered extremely radical at the time. It was going to be three groups of 11. And I think the last group was kind of like your Talchin Cup equivalent. The league was gone. It was just going to be a clean run through. I think there was provincial championships in there somewhere. My memory isn't that good now for 21 years ago. But yeah. Anyway, it didn't get through. It was ferociously debated. I mean, it was even more hostile than this. It got withdrawn, I think, but it came back. They came back at a special Congress in the autumn of 2000 with a slightly reconstituted task force, working group, whatever you want to call it, with the idea of the back door as we know it from then, and that got through. So I suppose the effect of the FDC that time was that it started a conversation that you couldn't really stop. And kind of the conversation we're having now, it's a bit of a continuation of what's been there before, but certainly I would hope anyway that the momentum over the last while, last 3 weeks or a month, will, and the conversation that will hopefully be had on Saturday will kind of push this along through. And keep in mind, like, I mean, even during the summertime, it was funny because, like, obviously we were all consumed with the championship, as you are. There was people kind of saying, geez, I wonder what's happening with this special Congress. When is it on? There's been no talk about these proposals whatsoever. And now we've had this deluge over the last 3 weeks or so. So hopefully there's a bit of momentum there. Now, I say that, and funny enough, I was talking to a couple of people last week. And it's funny, you know yourself in this thing. Sometimes you go down a rabbit hole with these things. You think everybody's talking about it. But I talked to a few really, staunch football people, long-standing football people from various different counties. And it was really passing them by. They were like, yeah, sure, we'll see how it goes. But, I was talking to one guy in particular who would be a delegate at Congress. He'd have a vote. He was thinking of not going, Hey, matches on, you're more inclined to go see the matches. Mm-hmm. So, like, you just can't, you know, it's a funny one that it's a huge issue, obviously. Yeah. It's a history-making, changing issue. But sometimes these things don't always grab the people they need to.
No, I think we're in a media bubble on this one, I have to say. I agree with you.
Oh, yeah.
Enda McGinley was on last week and he was saying he has spoken to delegates whose understanding of the various proposals was, at best, average. And we're hearing a bunch of players speaking after club games, high-profile players being asked about it. And their stock response, I would say in the main, is, well, I haven't really looked too closely into it, but, look, more games would be good anyway. And that's the extent of their contribution, despite the GPA telling us the level of desperation out there and how much buy-in there is to their view. I just find, so I think, like, one of the reasons for the bubble is, like, we've done a lot here on off the ball. The lads on AIM in particular have had a lot of pieces. There is something very unsatisfactory about the nature of this debate, and that's what I'm getting at when I say, like, the GAA not to take a position. I mean, so it's thrown out there. I guess the media decide whether or not there's a big debate to be had, whether or not there'll be interest, and it's random as to who's chosen to come on and who's amplified and who's not, and it's unbalanced and there are biases at play, and somehow that kind of fills the vacuum. Whereas you would think, again, I'm almost drawing too much of a parallel with like a referendum or whatever, but sure, generally you would have a government take a position. Yeah. And even like take the finances thing, which is hugely important, like that was just played out in this weird kind of, you know, the media, the vacuum which the media has filled, as in, like, there's an initial point by Conor O'Donoghue, who's part of the task force, and he says, well, proposal B, it's an extra 10 million. And then fairly promptly, the GAA, I think it's Jeremy Ryan, comes out and says of the finance department, actually, we disagree with that. And you're kind of thinking, well, lads in the finance department, something is important to finance. Would you not have laid out that for people to vote on or think about or discuss? Or I just don't really get how this is all meant to work, the build-up to this thing.
Yeah, I kind of go to the second one, that second point first, and go back to the first one then. Yeah. Like, so in that scenario, that those Jeremy O'Ryan figures came out during a meeting with county treasurers. So you're kind of thinking, okay, let's just take the media out of it. If that information is given to county treasurers, that filters back. You're hoping, right? Yes. That's the theory.
Yeah.
The other point then, just like on why they mightn't have taken the position, and you mentioned government there. So I mean, the equivalent here is like they have a committee that they've created to come up with proposals, and the same committee has come up with the two proposals. So if they go with one over the other, are they kind of undermining the committee's work on one side or the other? If you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm saying that, and I think I'm stretching a little bit. I think it's still okay to take a position on two proposals that come out, but I think it is notable that they are letting this thing spool itself out. They're not being actively destructive towards it. But obviously it goes without saying that if Tom Ryan, Director General, or if Larry McCarthy as President decided, I think proposal B is the way forward and this is what we need to do, that's what's going to happen on Saturday. Mm. And for all we know, that is what is happening behind the scenes. You know, I was interesting to know, there was a few counties there, Clare, I think Westmead, Offaly, I think have all backed it. I noted this evening that John Horne has come out in favour of it. Of course, as I said at the top, this is John Horne. This task force was put together by John Horne. So, like, he's come out in favour of proposal B. So, like, maybe that's officialdom's way of getting that endorsement out there. It's hard to know. And it's kind of, and I'm loath to say it, it's what makes Congress interesting, but it's what at least gives this a little bit of momentum. Here's one for you, Joe, right? That only occurred to me when someone said it to me this morning. Like, we were very close to not having any special Congress on a Saturday, depending on what the government said today in terms of social distancing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, the reason that this special Congress is even happening was because annual Congress back in February was a Zoom affair. They couldn't get people in a room. So there's 10 motions on Saturday, and they were put into a special Congress so that they could get people in a room. So if the government hadn't made that decision today, and presumably if we can fill nightclubs, we can fill an auditorium on a Saturday afternoon at Crow Park. So we could have had a very dramatic announcement in the next couple of days if that relaxing hadn't occurred as well. So I suppose what I'm saying is that, you know, there's still a bit of play in this. It's not a completely done deal. You would have to say, looking from the outside in, that it does feel like this is going to be a can that's kicked down the road. But I don't think it's a can that's getting kicked into the ditch. I think that, you know, the provincial councils have made their case very strongly, obviously, in the last couple of weeks. I think on all counts, the cases could be picked apart gradually, with a bit of momentum from the right places. But to be fair to the provincial councils as well, I think there has been a gap there in terms of reassuring them in terms of what the future looks like for provincial councils. That's another discussion again, yeah, in terms of what way the administration of the GAA would look like post provincial championship.
Yeah, just to give people a sense of maybe how the wind is blowing lately, certainly here and off the ball, increasingly people in authority are coming out against proposal B. So here's Michael Reynolds yesterday on OTBAM, pretty forthright. He's the Leinster GAA secretary. So here was Michael Reynolds, his rationale for not liking proposal B. Have a listen.
What What is generally the issue that the Leinster Council would have with Proposal B?
Proposal B reduces the importance of the provincial championships. There's no two ways about it. If there was a connection between the championships, the provincial championships as is, and with the All-Ireland or Sam Dwyer series, then might look at it somewhat differently. But to be starting your championship, which has other issues anyway, even if there was a connection, starting your championship in the last Sunday of January, the number of games, and I'm not terribly sure if all managers would come back in a couple of months and say their panel debt. Like, it would be a very interesting exercise to do over the last year or two on the list given to the referee. How many actual players off a panel get game time? So there's a two-way process there. The other point I would make, if the championship starts at the end of January, I'd love to see managers facing up to the fact, particularly the smaller counties, for want of a better description, the Leitrims, the Carlows, the Wicklows, some of their very good players are tied up in another championship at that time. I just wonder how that's the reaction there would be, i.e. Sigerson.
Another voice then, for example, Rory Gallagher, he's on the football pod with Paddy and Andy this week here in Off the Ball, currently, of course, managing Derry. He's against it as well. So here's Rory Gallagher, for instance.
I think there's two things you can win, as a young GAA player, a provincial championship and an All-Ireland. And people are saying, you know, some of the arguments are that our teams have no realistic chance of winning All-Ireland. That's not going to change no matter what. So it's not, you know, the Premiership can only be won by two or three teams. There's hardly going to be a foreign, just the way Newcastle were taken over. Somebody's not going to take over Waterford Gaelic footballers, or they're not going to take over Fermanagh Gaelic footballers from there and finance them. I think still in Fermanagh, you've a dream of winning a provincial championship. And to take that away would be totally wrong.
The provincials still would exist. The only thing they're taking away is the link between...
The link. There'd be glorified challenge games.
I think that's probably true as well. Although, let's not discount the possibility of the Saudis bankrolling the Leitrim County Board, and let's see where that might go.
Oh my God, on heaven.
James Horan, by the way, he also, you know, he's a man of substance, deep thinker, and very respected in GA world. He had misgivings, said it's not perfect. Like, he, for instance, his logic was less about the provincial championship. His issue was maybe the fact that you'll have teams scrapping it out in Division 1 and then not getting the chance to progress to the knockout stages. And well, is that right? And so look, that feels to be the way it's blowing, Mick.
Maybe. They're the voices we hear anyway. I mean, the thing about that last point that James made about this thing about, you know, I think isn't it the last three teams in Division 1 don't, you know, and the top team in Division 2, so in theory, the ninth team.
Yeah.
Gets a jump on the fifth or sixth. Should we do that in the hurling? No. Joe McDonagh Cup winners come in. You know, you have to incentivize this thing somehow. I mean, it's imperfect, but the whole bloody thing is imperfect because of the provincial system.
Yeah.
That's what makes it imperfect. And I, you know, it's funny listening to some of the contributions from Ulster. I mean, I have spoken to people down the years in Ulster, former footballers, former players, coaches now, who say, you know what, Ulster's awful boring for us. So we play the same people at schools level, we play them at colleges level, we play them at club level. We play them every year, the same teams in the Ulster Championship. It is God boring. And, you know, since Methuselah was a boy giving out about the Ulster Championship, one of the reasons why the Ulster Championship was considered just a bit of a trudge, really, was because everyone knew each other too well, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you will also have a constituency of footballers in Ulster who'd love the idea of going off down to play Galway or going away across to play Meath or down to Cork or wherever the hell. The other thing as well is, I think Rory's, I don't want to get it wrong, to be fair, but I think he said something along the lines of, it's not going to make it any easier for teams to win All-Irelands, this system. It'll actually make it easier for the big teams in Ulster to win All-Irelands if they don't have to go through the Ulster Championship. So anyway, that's by the by. But the thing about the provincial councils, I think it is interesting. And the Michael Reynolds interview, you know, I have to say, like, and again, I'm not saying this as a criticism of the lads on Off the Ball AM or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. But it was interesting to watch, particularly on social media and stuff, the reaction to some of the clips that went out about that. And, you know, whether you agree with the guy or not, and however way he came across in it, you know, some of these guys who will be at Congress on Saturday and who go to these people go to Congress so you don't have to. right? And these guys administer the game, so you don't have to. Mm. It's not much crack. Mm. And, you know, there are some very genuinely held views about why neither of these things should go through. And, you know, you got to respect them, whether you can pick them apart easily or not. The other thing as well that the provincial councils would be acutely aware of, there was a report done a few years ago called Towards 2034. It was essentially a sort of a strategic report done by the GAA at central level looking at the problems, or the issues, not the problem, the challenges that the GAA will face in the next 50 years. And one of the recommendations was to abolish the provincial councils and replace them with regional sort of administrations that will be decided not by provincial boundaries, but by demographics, right? And that essentially it will be part of a reordering of the provincial councils into more like a service, not a competition organizer, but a service provider, in the sense of they will be very almost entirely just focused on games development and participation and so on. So, like, that's all happening in the background, if you like, as well. That sort of culture change is happening that we don't see at the surface and that people, frankly, aren't interested in. But the guys who are running provincial councils will be aware of these kind of things. Mm. Now, that report was buried. Interestingly enough, Larry McCarthy was on that committee that came up with those proposals.
Nice.
So there's a lot of that stuff, Joe, that goes on that is feeding into why, quite apart from the notion of, you know, feeling a duty to protect the provincial championships on their watch, there's a lot of other stuff going on in the background that would inform why the provincial councils will be protecting their patch.
No doubt. Well, listen, let's see what happens on Saturday. It seems like we'll be back to agreeing that something must be done, but beyond that,
has
nobody,
to be done, Joe.
But something,
has to be
but,
done.
But nobody agrees on what very, very quickly is where we are. Mick Foley of the Sunday Times, I'm sure you'll be writing about it on Sunday's paper, in Sunday's paper, Mick. Thanks so
I
much.
Have
appreciate
to.
It. I have to. You've asked. I want 4 pages for Congress, you've said to your editor.
God. And you know what? The worst is I'm actually in charge of myself this weekend, so I'll be giving out to myself, going, give me more.
I just want the 10,000 word space. That's all I ask for, says Foley. thanks, Mill. See you later.
No problem, Joe. Thanks.